Chapter 1, Section 2, Science in Action. As you read, identify some skills scientists use, define hypotheses, recognize the difference between observation and inference. Why it's important? Science can be used to learn more about the world you live in. The review vocabulary word, observation, which means a record or description of an occurrence or pattern in nature. Your new vocabulary words include hypothesis, infer, controlled experiment, variable, independent variable, dependent variable, and constant. Science skills. You know that science involves asking questions, but how does asking questions lead to learning? Because no single way to gain knowledge exists, a scientist doesn't start with step one, then go on to step two, and so on. Instead, scientists have a huge collection of skills from which to choose. Some of these skills include thinking, observing, predicting, investigating, researching, modeling, measuring, analyzing, and inferring. Science also can advance with luck and creativity. Science methods. Investigations often follow a general pattern. As illustrated in Figure 8, most investigations begin by seeing something and then asking a question about what was observed. Scientists often perform research by talking with other scientists. They read books and scientific magazines to learn as much as they can about what is already known about their question. Usually, scientists state a possible explanation for their observation. To collect more information, scientists almost always make more observations. They might build a model of what they study, or they might perform investigations. Often, they do both. How might you combine some of these skills in an investigation? And the figure eight, the caption. Although there are different scientific methods for investigating a specific problem, most investigations follow a general pattern. From observe question, collect information, to hypothesize, and to observe, experiment, model, and measure. That's you investigate to learn more. And then you analyze it and conclude and communicate. And then you can go back again. You can have the hypothesis being supported, and that repeats several times, or the hypothesis is not supported, and then you modify it, and then you hypothesize again, and the whole process starts over again. Page 13. Questioning and observing. Miss Clark placed a sealed shoebox on the table at the front of the laboratory. Everyone in the class noticed the box. Within seconds, the questions flew. What's in the box? Why is it there? Miss Clark said she would like the class to see how they use some science skills without even realizing it. I think that she wants us to find out what's in it, Isabel said to Marcus. Can we touch it? Asked Marcus. It's up to you, Miss Clark said. Marcus picked up the box and turned it over a few times. It's not heavy, Marcus observed. Whatever is inside slides around. He handed the box to Isabel. Isabel shook the box. The class heard the object strike the sides of the box. With every few shakes, the class heard a metallic sound. The box was passed around for each student to make observations and write them in his or her science journal. Some observations are shown in Figure 9. Taking a guess. I think it's a pair of scissors, said Marcus. Aren't scissors lighter than this? Asked Isabel while shaking the box. I think it's a stapler. What makes you think so? Asked Miss Clark. Well, staplers are small enough to fit inside a shoebox, and it seems to weigh about the same, said Isabel. We can hear metal when we shake it, said Enrique. So you are guessing that a stapler is in the box? Yes, they agreed. You just stated a hypothesis, exclaimed Miss Clark. A what? Asked Marcus. Page 14. The hypothesis. A hypothesis is a reasonable and educated possible answer based on what you know and what you observe. We know that a stapler is small, it can be heavy, and it is made of metal, said Isabel. We observe that what is in the box is small, heavier than a pair of scissors, and made of metal, continued Marcus. Analyzing hypotheses. What other possible explanations fit with what you observed? Asked Miss Clark. Well, it has to be a stapler, said Enrique. What if it isn't? Asked Miss Clark. Maybe you're overlooking explanations because your minds are made up. A good scientist keeps an open mind to every idea and explanation. What if you learn new information that doesn't fit with your original hypothesis? What new information could you gather to verify or disprove your hypothesis? Do you mean a test or something? Asked Marcus. I know, said Enrique. We could get an empty shoebox that is the same size as the mystery box and put a stapler in it. Then we could shake it and see whether it feels and sounds the same. Enrique's test is shown in Figure 10. And the caption for Figure 10, comparing the known information with the unknown information can be valuable even though you cannot see what is inside the box. Making a prediction. If your hypothesis is correct, what would you expect to happen? Asked Miss Clark. Well, it would be about the same weight and it would slide around a little just like the other box, said Enrique. It would have to have the same metallic sound when we shake it, said Marcus. So you predict that the test box will feel and sound the same as your mystery box. Go ahead and try it, said Mrs. Clark. Page 15. Testing the hypothesis. Miss Clark gave the class an empty shoebox that appeared to be identical to the mystery box. Isabel found a metal stapler. Enrique put the stapler in the box and taped the box closed. Marcus shook the box. The stapler does slide around, but it feels just a little heavier than what's inside the mystery box, said Marcus. What do you think? He asked Isabel as he handed her the box. It is heavier, said Isabel, and as hard as I shake it, I can't get a metallic sound. What if we find the mass of both boxes? Then we'll know the exact mass difference between the two. Using a balance as shown in Figure 11, the class found that the test box had a mass of 410 grams and the mystery box had a mass of 270 grams. And in Figure 11, the caption, laboratory balances are used to find the mass of objects. Organizing your findings. Okay, now you have some new information, said Miss Clark, but before you draw any conclusions, let's organize what we know. Then we'll have a summary of our observations and can refer back to them when we are drawing our conclusions. We could make a chart of our observations in our science journals, said Marcus. We could compare the observations of the mystery box with the observations of the test box, said Isabel. The chart that the class made is shown in Table 1. Under the questions, does it roll or slide? Does it make any sounds? Is the mass evenly distributed in the box? What is the mass of the box? And the mystery box, it slides and appears to be flat. Our box, it slides and appears to be flat. It makes a metallic sound when it strikes the sides of the box. The stapler, this is for our box, makes a thudding sound when it strikes the sides of the box. The mystery box, no, the object doesn't completely fill the box. Our box, no, the mass of the stapler is unevenly distributed. The mystery box mass is 270 grams. Our box is 410 grams. Page 16, drawing conclusions. What have you learned from your investigation so far? Asked Miss Clark. The first thing that we learned was that our hypothesis wasn't correct. Would you say that your hypothesis was entirely wrong? Asked Miss Clark. The boxes don't weigh the same, and the box with the stapler doesn't make the same sound as the mystery box, but there could be a difference in the kind of stapler in the box. It could be a different size or made of different materials. So you infer that the object in the mystery box is not exactly the same type of stapler, right? Asked Miss Clark. What does infer mean? Asked Isabel. To infer something means to draw a conclusion based on what you observe, answered Miss Clark. So we inferred that the things in the boxes had to be different because our observations of the two boxes are different, said Marcus. I guess we're back to where we started, said Enrique. We still don't know what's in the mystery box. Do you know more than you did before you started? Asked Miss Clark. We eliminated one possibility, Isabel added. Yes, we inferred that it's not a stapler, at least not like the one in the test box, said Marcus. So even if your observations don't support your hypothesis, you know more than you did when you started, said Miss Clark. Continuing to learn. So when do we get to open the box and see what it is, asked Marcus. Let me ask you this, said Miss Clark. Do you think scientists always get a chance to look inside to see if they are right? If they are studying something too big or too small to see, I guess they can't, replied Isabel. What do they do in those cases? As you learn, your first hypothesis might not be supported by your investigation. Instead of giving up, you continue to gather information by making more observations, making new hypotheses, and investigating further. Some scientists have spent lifetimes researching their questions. Science takes patience and persistence, said Miss Clark. Page 17. Communicating your findings. It is not unusual for one scientist to continue the work of another, or try to duplicate the work of another scientist. It is important for scientists to communicate to others not only the results of the investigation, but also the methods by which the investigation was done. Scientists often publish reports in journals, books, and on the internet to show other scientists the work that was completed. They also might attend meetings where they make speeches about their work. Like the science fair student in Figure 13 demonstrates, an important part of doing science is the ability to communicate methods and results to others. Page 18, experiments. Different types of questions call for different types of investigations. Miss Clark's class made many observations about their mystery box and about their test box. They wanted to know what was inside. To answer their question, building a model, the test box, was an effective way to learn more about the mystery box. Some questions ask about the effects of one factor on another. One way to investigate these kinds of questions is by doing a controlled experiment. A controlled experiment involves changing one factor and observing its effect on another while keeping all other factors constant. Variables and constants. Imagine a race in which the lengths of the lanes vary. Some lanes are 102 meters long, some are 98 meters long, and a few are 100 meters long. When the first runner crosses the finish line, is he or she the fastest? Not necessarily. The lanes in the race have different lengths. Variables are factors that can be changed in an experiment. Reliable experiments like the race shown in Figure 14 attempt to change one variable and observe the effect of this change on another variable. The variable that is changed in an experiment is called the independent variable. The dependent variable changes as a result of a change in the independent variable. It usually is the dependent variable that is observed in an experiment. Scientists attempt to keep all of the variables constant or unchanged. The variables that are not changed in an experiment are called constants. Examples of constants in the race include track material, wind speed, and distance. This way, it is easier to determine exactly which variable is responsible for the runner's finish times. In this race, the runner's abilities were varied. The runner's finish times were observed. Page 19. Laboratory safety. In your science class, you will perform many types of investigations. However, performing scientific investigations involves more than just following the specific steps. You also must learn how to keep yourself and those around you safe by obeying the safety symbol warnings, shown in Figure 16. In a laboratory, when scientists work in a laboratory, as shown in Figure 15, they take many safety precautions. The most important safety advice in a science lab is to think before you act. Always check with your teacher several times in the planning stage of any investigation. Also, make sure you know the location of safety equipment in the laboratory room and how to use this equipment, including the eye washes, thermal mitts, and fire extinguisher. Good safety habits include the following suggestions. Before conducting any investigation, find and follow all safety symbols listed in your investigation. You always should wear an apron and goggles to protect yourself from chemicals, flames, and pointed objects. Keep goggles on until activity, cleanup, and hand washing are complete. Always slant test tubes away from yourself and others when heating them. Never eat, drink, or apply makeup in the lab. Report all accidents and injuries to your teacher and always wash your hands after working with lab materials. In the field. Investigations also take place outside the lab, in streams, farm fields, and other places. Scientists must follow safety regulations there as well, such as wearing eye goggles and any other special safety equipment that is needed. Never reach into holes or under rocks. Always wash your hands after you've finished your field work. Page 20. Why have safety rules? Doing science in the class laboratory or in the field can be much more interesting than reading about it. However, safety rules must be strictly followed so that the possibility of an accident greatly decreases. However, you can't predict when something will go wrong. Think of a person taking a trip in a car. Most of the time when someone drives somewhere in a vehicle, an accident like that one shown in Figure 17 does not occur. But to be safe, drivers and passengers always should wear safety belts. Likewise, you should wear and use appropriate safety gear in the lab, whether you are conducting an investigation or just observing. The most important aspect of any investigation is to conduct it safely. That ends Chapter 1, Section 2, Science in Action, from the textbook.